you're taking your Bibles and going to Psalm 23. Don't worry, we will do all the work of the, take care of all the stuff at the end of the service. Don't panic. Psalm 23. I hope you know this morning without a shadow of a doubt. Every person in here will stand before a living God and give an account for their lives. Every single person in this room. Everybody sitting in this room this morning, you think you have a long life, a short life, something like that. Literally nobody knows what hour, what time you'll pass away. The Bible says like this, it's appointed unto man once to die, but then the judgment. Psalm 23 is often used, is very often used at funerals. It's used at readings at funerals. Most time I've done a funeral, somebody will say, will somebody please read Psalm 23 somewhere along in the funeral. I don't want this read at my funeral. I want it read in my life. Amen? I don't want, matter of fact, I'm being honest with you right now, you're preaching your funeral as you sit here. Amen? As you go throughout your life, you're preaching your funeral. Your funeral will not be preached by a pastor, a man of God, or anybody like that. It might be officiated, but it will not be preached. Your life will preach what your message of your funeral will be. Amen? You can get somebody to come on and say a bunch of things. Well, they once said, or they once did, or I think they said a prayer. I think they might have went to church. I think they got attended. You know what's going to be true? God is going to say, I know. Amen? I know, without a shadow of a doubt, by the way they lived their life, they knew Jesus Christ. Psalm 23. I hope I gave you enough time to get to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I hope your soul can say that this morning. There was a lot of things that led my life before I got saved. I followed just about everything this world had to offer. Amen? I followed it. If I could follow it, I followed it. Drugs, I followed it. Women, I followed it. Lies, I followed it. I followed everything in this world until one day, August 28 of 04, I come to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I got behind the shepherd. Amen? My soul took a pause and let Jesus walk in front. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd. I hope you can say that this morning without any hesitation. The Lord leads my life. He leads, He directs, He's the one who makes everything happen in my life without a shadow of a doubt. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. My soul doesn't want for anything else. Amen? My soul doesn't want. My soul used to crave everything in this world. I mean, I used to cram everything in this thing. I mean, I told you already about the drugs and the women and the line and the things like that, but also things that I thought would bring me happiness. Amen? I thought sports would bring me happiness. I thought money would bring me happiness. I thought status, clothes, I thought things that everybody else was looking at would somehow satisfy my soul, and they did not. Amen? They did not. The only thing that truly satisfied was Jesus Christ. When He got on the inside, I was no longer hungry, starving, and wanting for the things of this world. I never wanted for anybody else's approval. I was no longer trying to seek that thing that was going to please me. I was like a puzzle with a missing piece. And boy, did we try to cram every missing piece of puzzle in there to make it fit until Jesus fell into my heart. Fell into my life. Yesterday I got to speak to a bunch of veterans. And at the end of it, there was a Marine who met me out in the parking lot. He said, hey man, that was pretty cool. I said, yeah, I was glad to have the opportunity to speak to you guys. He said, it is rare that a Marine gets saved. And it's rare that a Marine becomes a preacher. I said, I don't know how true that is. Amen? But I do know one thing. I got something that the military couldn't provide. I got something that the service could not provide. I was fighting for something that was temporary. God got into my soul and fought for something that was eternal. Amen? I got to stand before those men and declare Jesus Christ, and I'm sitting there going, man, this is amazing that He would meet me outside and say, hey, that's a big deal that you're serving God. Hey, guess what? If Jesus hadn't come and invaded my heart and my life, it would have ended badly. Amen? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. The food and the water are taken for. Amen. The food and the water meet all the needs. My soul is no longer hungry for anything this world has to offer. Man, I mean, he knows how to feed. Amen. He knows how to take you down to the green pastures of life and let you feed. Amen. He knows how to put the right things in your life that you really want to eat, that really sustain your life. This Bible, your prayer life, people around you that will sow into your life, man, that is the good stuff to eat from. Amen. He put people around me that sowed into my life and spoke into my life that I said, man, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want. That's what I want to take in. If we're not careful, we'll listen to this world, see this world, and through all the gates of our life, we'll have garbage come in and garbage will go out. Garbage will come in, but garbage will go out. But once you start, when you start following Jesus Christ and he starts leading you to the feeding places, guess what? It's no longer garbage in. It's spiritual in and spiritual out. Some of y'all are wondering why you're having a hard time not talking about the things of God, saying the things of God, emanating the things of God, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you're putting in is what's coming out. Amen. What you're reading, what you're listening to, the people that you're around, you are surrounding yourself with information. And when that information goes in, it's got to come out. Amen. I'm so glad God takes you and puts you by those green pastures and you can eat from the things of God. Amen. Because you know what the things of God will do too when you're eating from the things of God? They will encourage you when the world will discourage you. Amen? It will bring you up when everybody should be trying to bring you down. Amen? There's things when I hear the world, when I watch the news, we're about to come up on Tuesday, we're about to come up on an election cycle. I've never heard so much garbage in my life. I don't want to hear another commercial. I don't want to hear another campaign speech. I don't want to hear that because you know what? That brings me down. You know what I do instead? I read, I pray, I seek the face of the Lord, and you know what I find? Every time I get around Him, my attitude changes, my heart changes, my mind changes. I start to come up instead of going down, amen? I start to say, wait a minute, God's on my side. God's got me saved. God's bringing up leaders and taking down leaders. There's not one person ever been elected that caught God off guard. Whew. I needed to hear that myself, amen. After a couple years ago, we're sitting there going, man, how did this happen? God says, I know how it happened because I'm in control of everything. Amen. But I love this part too. It says, he leadeth me beside still waters. You know what? I study on this a little bit, and I see these sheep, they won't drink from running waters. He takes us to places where everything is calm. He takes us to places that we can drink from. I have never been thirsty since I met Jesus. Amen. There's a psalm in here, Psalm 42. It says, my heart, my soul is after you like a deer panteth after water. Do you know what that was like yesterday for deer? You know what happened yesterday? Muzzleloader season. You know, a bunch of non-bow hunters went hunting yesterday. Some of y'all going to meet me after church. Oh, I'll hunt bow if I want to. A lot of people that can't hunt with a bow went yesterday because guess what? We're finally moving to the gun action. Amen? Don't get mad. It's just the truth. It's easier to hunt with a gun than it is a bow. I couldn't hit a deer with bow, so you can make fun of me. I wouldn't hear nothing with either one of them. But praise God, yesterday, there were a lot of deer. There were a lot of deer everywhere running for their lives. Amen? Running for their lives. And you know where they were headed after a long day of running for their lives? Brooks and streams. Brooks and streams. They were thinking, man, I'm thirsty from running from my life. I had one hunter after another hunter after another hunter after another hunter trying to take my life. Thank God I was in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, where nobody can hit anything. Amen? Y'all are going to be really mad by the end of the service. It's okay. But praise God, we had a lot of thirsty deer out there, and they went to those brooks and streams, and they drank up because their heart, they were almost busting, running through these hills and valleys and trying to get to the security and safety. That's how my soul feels sometimes. I have to run to Jesus and drink deep. Amen? I have to run to Jesus. It's like the enemy is on every side. He's attacking in every way, and I'm running for my life. And then, you know, when I come to my senses and go, I know where there's a place to drink from. The bullets, the arrows, the weapons that have tried to take my life didn't succeed. I will go drink from the brooks. I will go drink from Jesus Christ. And you, as your heart's still pounding and racing, and you don't even know if the answer's going to come, you don't even know if it's going to turn out your way, you're still drinking that water and saying, thank you, God, for providing a place to drink even when the enemy is attacking. Amen? Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I love this. He restored my soul. When He found me, I was so broken. I was so under. I didn't have a name. I didn't have a place. I didn't have nowhere to be. But then God restored my soul. Has anybody in here got your soul restored by God? I'm talking about built you back from a place where nobody else could have got you from. Amen. All of a sudden, He starts putting things in your life that should have never been there. Leadership positions, places that you should operate in. And all of a sudden, people are saying, I say this all the time. People come to me and say, will you speak here? Will you do this? Will you do that? And I'm always kind of wanting to look over my shoulder and going, oh, you're talking about me. You're wanting me to come speak to this important situation. Man, 20-something years ago, you wouldn't have had me come to speak anything. Amen? I would have stood in need to be spoke to. But God, amen, He restored my soul. He can repair the broken soul. Listen, you don't know this. If you're unsaved sitting here, your soul's broke. Your soul's empty. Some of y'all are sitting here, y'all are still hung up on what I preached at first. You're still trying to put stuff into your life to satisfy your soul, and it won't work. Some people, you're sitting there going, you got all the money, you got the job, you got the person, you got the things that should make you happy, you got the car, you got the phone, you got the club. Why are you not satisfied? Because there is only one that satisfies. And He don't satisfy just a little, He satisfies completely. Your soul is completely satisfied in Christ Jesus. You can be sick or you can be well. You can be up or down, in or out. You are satisfied in Christ Jesus. I've sat in many places since I've been saved. And I didn't even know what the peace of God was until I've had to dine from it. Until I've had to sit in the darkest places of my life and look around the room and go, but I still belong to God. Amen? He restores the soul. For guess what? For His name's sake. Whew. Is there anybody in here carrying a bigger name now? I drug mine through the mud. I drug mine through the dirt. Matter of fact, my name is mud. It's dirt. It's terrible. Amen? But when then all of a sudden God says, here, take this name. Hey, carry this name. Hey, promote this name. Oh, glory. You mean I can carry that? And talk about that, a name that never fails, a name where every knee will bow, will every tongue confess, that name. Because in our name, we can't do anything. But you know what? In front of anybody, anywhere, we can sit and talk to them and say, hey, I can take you before the throne of glory. I can pray and seek the Lord on your behalf. Amen? Do you know there's so many lost people in this world? If you would just open your eyes and your heart and your mind, take your candle, run into this dark world, and tell them there is a Jesus that loves them and wants to save them and change them and restore their soul too. Do you know that there'll be more people will accept prayer from you, will accept the gospel from you, if you would just be able to willing to give it? You would give them anything else. You will give them a conversation about weather, politics, and everything else. When's the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? He's restored your soul. Talk about Him. Share Him. What's this right here? For His name's sake. Yea, though I walk. Golly, bum, this is good. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you right now, you walk to the valley of the shadow of death. Amen? You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There are going to be times, some of y'all are too young in here to hear this. There are some of you in here, you think, man, I'm going to live forever. Well, guess what? That ain't true. You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you walk with God, you're going to walk through there with God. You're going to walk through this life of God. And some of the things that will scare you to death when everybody else leaves the room and it's just you and God. His rod and His staff will comfort you. Amen? Hey, you know what the old shepherds, they had that rod. I don't want to talk about it today because I know what the rod is. The rod is for correction. And nobody wants to talk about correction in the church anymore. God doesn't correct anybody. God's just a big old granddaddy God up in heaven who just gives you out candy and blesses your socks off and sends you down the road just like your grandparents do. That's not God.
God's a good, good father. And if you get out of the will of God, he will correct you. The rod will come out. He will correct you. And you know, after it's done and after it's over, you'll look back and say, God, thank you. Amen. I won't preach on that too long, but that staff, amen. Do you know what the shepherd's staff had on it? It had his family lineage, it had every sheep's name, had every sheep's record on the staff, and it was twice as tall as the shepherd. So if you ever couldn't get eyes on the shepherd, you could get eyes on the staff, and you could see that he took care of every sheep that ever belonged to him, and he would take account of every animal that tried to come in and take a sheep or anything from him, and he would record his whole family heritage on there. And guess what? Even the lowliest, darkest, blackest, worst sheep in the family. And when you say the dark sheep of the family or the black sheep, or the one that was the most troubled, that's me. Everybody in my family, you know how it went with me and my family? Everybody said, all right, at least you're not Kevin. That's a fact. So when I preach about the demonic man in the Bible, I can relate to him because I wasn't fully out in the demon possession, but I was at the point where everybody said, as in my family, it was like a little proverb, if you can get bad, but as long as you don't get as bad as Kevin. You can go, but you can't go with Kevin. Wow, that's fun. Amen? Well, guess what? That one right there, even in the family of God, God knows you, God loves you, and God records you. If you can't see anything else, look for it. Look for it and go, there he is, amen. Thy rod and thy staff, look for the staff of God, because guess what? He loves you, amen. I love that right there. This is good. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Watch this right here. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Can I preach to y'all just for a moment? Because God's good like this. This is something I didn't experience, but this last year, I got to experience this one. Usually everybody, man, oh, God's good. God blesses you. God take care of you. That's true. But when all heck comes against you, and the enemy is raging and roaring and speaking. There's a time in the Bible where Jesus hung up on the cross between two thieves. And they were walking back and forth railing on him. You saved others, save yourself. You got everybody else in trouble, get yourself down from there. Amen? There's going to be times in your life, if you're a Christian, you're going to come up on a time where everybody's going to hate you for absolutely doing what God's called you to do. Amen? You're going to be absolutely hated. Amen? And it's going to be amazing because you're going to think, man, at least I got these people, or at least I got these friends, at least I got this opportunity. They're all going to come, and they're going to be, you know what? They're not. And you're going to think, man, these people right here, they hate me. They don't like me. They don't want to be around me. And all of a sudden, those people, they're going to come in, and they're going to just surround you and be a part of it in your life. You're going to be like, man, I thought those were the enemies, and I thought those were the people that love me. Who are these people? And now, listen, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. It's okay. But guess what I found in this? It's even better than that. Can I preach to somebody? Because God's good like this. Because he does something that I didn't expect. I've read this a million times, but when I read it this time, I seen it. All of a sudden, God, in the presence of your enemies, all of a sudden, Jesus, I'm talking about when the wolves and the bears and the lions and everybody's circling and they're expecting you to go under, they're expecting you to quit, they're expecting you to die, they're expecting you to give in. All of a sudden, God pulls up a table, sets it in the wilderness. Woo! Glory to God. I know what I'm talking about. He sets down the table, takes out a tablecloth. I mean, the wolves are growling. The lions are roaring. Amen. They are thinking, man, I've got him. I've got her right here. And God pops the tablecloth and lays it out over the table. Then all of a sudden starts taking out the dishes and setting them. And you're sitting there going, God, do you not hear? Do you not hear the wolves? Do you not hear the lions? He's still sitting out the table. Then all of a sudden he's taking out the food that he's prepared for you, and he sets it out and breaks it. He goes, you can't be scared. You can't be intimidated if you're setting a table in front of enemies. See, when you're looking at your shepherd, and when you're looking at your master, and you're looking at your Lord, when the enemy says you're dying, when the enemy says you're going under, but your master, your Lord, your shepherd is setting a table saying, don't worry about them. You're going to eat just fine. You're going to be just fine.
You just steady yourself. What you've done here is you've got a good look at the lions. You've got a good look at the wolves. You've got a good look at the enemy. Praise God. You got a problem, Kevin. You need to get a good look at me. Because I'm the one who fights. The good shepherd fights the lion. The good shepherd fights the wolves. The good shepherd fights the enemy. We don't do that. God, I wish y'all would get this. I wish this wasn't Sunday morning message, because some of y'all are just holding back. Because guess what? Some of y'all experienced this before. Some of you have had this experience where the enemy was raging and God is setting a table because he's saying, I am not worried about the enemy. I took care of your worst enemy 2,000 years ago on a cross. The devil's got on some of you, he's got in some of your ear that you're going to die, that you're going under, that you're going to fail. My God, he conquered death, hell, and the grave over 2,000 years ago for you. Can I preach the way God wants me to preach this to you? It's like he sets a table and he sets that meal down before you and he goes, look at me. Stop looking at everything else. Stop listening to everything else. I'm preparing a table before your enemies. So guess what? I want you to dine. I want you to eat. I want you to prosper. I want you to get strengthened. I don't want you to go under. My gosh, that's your God. Some of y'all, the first sign of trouble, you start defending yourself. You don't put the napkin around your neck, grab a fork and a knife, and go, all right, Lord, let's go to meal. Let's go to eat. Amen? That's how good God is. I bet the enemy's, y'all think the enemy gets confused right there? When he's raging and he thinks you're going to die and all of a sudden God's sitting at a table? When I see this, I see the wilderness. I see out in the middle of nowhere. I feel like it just, everything's empty. There's more enemy than there is good. And God's just, a little old table for one, table for two, out there in the desert. Could you imagine that? And all of a sudden you're just sitting down, and all of a sudden the enemy goes, I thought she was going to quit. I thought she was going to give up. It's kind of like Job. I thought he was going to curse God. Not cursing. He's praising. She's not quitting. She's reading more. She didn't go away from church. She went to church. They didn't quit. He didn't quit preaching. He preached twice as much. He didn't quit singing. He sung louder. He sung when nobody else was around. Preached when nobody else was around. Amen? You ain't doing it for anybody else. You're doing it because guess what? The same table that's prepared for you, that's who you do this stuff for. That's who you do everything for. God just reminds you, this ain't a corporate thing. Amen? Corporate worship is awesome. Church is amazing. But I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. God is bigger when it's just you and Him. You better have a relationship with God that goes down the road with you, because if it's only here on Sunday morning, that's sad. You've got a small sliver of who God is. God can go anywhere and do anything with you that you want Him to. He's a big God, and He's amazing. The best messages I've ever heard are me and God. The best songs I've ever heard are me and God. The best prayers I've ever prayed are me and God. The best times I've ever had with God are just me and God. And I always want to tell people, I'm like, golly bum, I wish you could get in the car with me. I wish you could hear the message that me and God worked out, because I never get it from my head to my mouth the way God gives it to me. I remember one time I went to this place called the Burger Den. I used to call it the Lions Den, but I won't tell you why. I used to call it the Lions Den. And one Sunday, I went to preach real early, and I was supposed to meet another bunch of preachers at this restaurant. And all of a sudden, me and God went down and preached to these guys that were in recovery. And then I'm going to go meet with all these other preachers. But on the way from the preaching to the meeting, God got in the van with me. And next thing you know, I'm driving down the road, and I got to crying so heavy that I had to pull over on the side of the road. And I just worshiped God for like 10 minutes on the side of the road. And I mean, I couldn't even see through the tears that I was crying. I couldn't see through them. So all of a sudden I said, I did. I crawled off in the floor of a 15-passenger van that I was all by myself in. And I crawled off in the floor and I said, God, if you don't let up soon, somebody's going to think I'm drunk or high or both. You need to relinquish and let me go. Do you really want to let me go? Do you want me to let you go? Not really, but this looks weird. It feels weird because you're amazing. And I got to go be with a bunch of preachers. Okay, I'm going to let you go now. I got up. I got in the driver's seat. I drove over to the Burger Den. I pulled up, and there's like 10 preachers there. And I'm sitting there, and they're all talking about their churches, and they're talking about their church members, and they're just wearing them out. And I looked around the room, and there wasn't nothing but working men in the room. Just working men, because that's what working men do, apparently. They go eat, and then they go to work. Melissa's shaking her head, yes. And all of a sudden, I seen it for what it was. It's like, oh, no. The people you want to reach so badly are sitting in these seats and they're hearing how the shepherds are treating their sheep, and it's not good. So all of a sudden God said, and I'm not super spiritual, believe me, I say dumb stuff all the time, but all of a sudden God says, remember me in the van? And I said, yeah, tell them about it. I said, this don't seem like the place, Lord. He goes, this is exactly the place. So all of a sudden I said, hey guys, I know y'all are talking about the troubles and the problems of your churches, and I understand that completely, but can I tell you what just happened to me on the side of the road? And I started talking about Jesus, and I started crying in the lion's den. And all the preachers were looking at me like I'm crazy, but all the working men were looking at me like, oh my God, one of them, oh my gosh, some of them really care. Amen? Some of them care. I didn't have a church at the time. But you know what? I still don't wear my church out in front of people. I still don't wear my sheep out in front of people. You know why? Because that ain't necessary. Amen? It ain't necessary. What's this right here? Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Hey, does your cup ever run over? Does your cup ever run over? You're saved, you're born again, you got Jesus. Does it ever spill over on anybody else? Do you ever get a case that I can't help but share Jesus with somebody else? Your cup is so full that you're drinking from your saucer and other people are too. That Jesus has so got into your life that you can't keep him in. That you're sitting there going, man, I want to keep him in. Okay. But all of a sudden he just kind of spills over. Amen. Or do you have this relationship with Jesus that it's just a sip of Jesus? I mean just a little old sip of Jesus. That you only sip on and you don't share and you don't look around. You know what Jesus says? He said, my head is anointed, but my cup runneth over. My cup run. You know what that means? God says, I'll give you so much that you can give to other people. Hey, man, I hope we go to a church with a bunch of people who just can't help it. We got Jesus running off of us, and it just hits other people and splashes on them. And they say, what was that? That's just my Jesus. He gets into everything. Hey, man, I want to play sports, but Jesus gets in that. I want to go fishing, but Jesus gets into that. I want to go hunting, but Jesus gets into that. I want to do everything I do in my life, and I want Jesus to spill into that. And I want people to say, I would take him. I would take her. But she'll spill out all over the place. He'll just spill out Jesus. I would take him. I would take him to the races. But Jesus might spill out. I would take him over there to the hunting. But what if the Holy Spirit gets in the tree stand with him and he starts praising God? What happens? What if he gets in my boat and I ain't got nowhere to go? What if your fishing buddy ain't saved, but all of a sudden you're sitting there going, wait a minute, I got the keys, and we're in the middle of the water. It's either swim or get Jesus, or get Jesus and get baptized. Amen? But let me ask you a question. I know I'm being kind of humorous with you, but I'm asking you a question. Do the people around you have a hard time being around you because Jesus just happens to spill out on them when you're around? You should. If your cup's running over, you should be somebody who gets people with Jesus. I love this last part and I'll be done. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Whew. I don't know what you had following you when you were lost, but it wasn't goodness and mercy for me. It was like felony warrants. Sorry. It was like blue lights and red lights and people who wanted their money. That's who were following me. But since I've been saved, if I stop, guess
Guess who bumps into me? Goodness and mercy. Two good friends to have. Goodness, that's God's goodness. And in God's mercy, you didn't get what you should have got. Amen? Have you ever had to have that goodness show up, and all of a sudden you're getting something you didn't deserve? You're like, man, God's really blessed me. Then you get that mercy bumps in. You said something, done something you shouldn't have done, and all of a sudden God says, I'll give you mercy instead of what you deserve. Ain't you glad of that? Amen? Come on, Anthony, this last part. Come on, get ready for the altar call. Listen to this right here. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me read that last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How many? All the days of my life. Listen to this last part right here. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? All the days of this life, mercy and goodness are following me. But the end of this life, I'm going to heaven for eternity. Listen, let me explain it to you the way the Bible says it. You have an expected end. Gosh. Ask a bunch of people, what happens when you die? What happens when you die? What happens if you died today? Well, I don't know this. I believe this. I kind of believe that. If you ask a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, what happens if you die? I will be in the presence of God. I will have a promotion. I will be in the presence of God, and I will not worry. I will not fear. I know I'll have a place for me. God is going to prepare a place for me. I'll have a place to dwell with Jesus forever, and all those who believe in Him will come after me. Whew. Man, August 28 of 04, I didn't have an expected end. I couldn't answer that question. A little girl walked up to me on the 4th of July, amen, and asked me, where will you spend eternity? And I said, nobody really knows. That's what I told her. She goes, you're wrong, sir. This girl was 9 years old. She asked me straight. She goes, where would you go if you died today, sir? I don't know. Nobody really knows. She goes, you're not right, sir. I know where I'd go. I'd be in heaven. I would say, you don't really. She goes, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you would know without a shadow of a doubt like I do. Man, she ruined my 4th of July celebration. She ruined the next 2 months of my life until I got saved. And when I get to heaven, she's one of the persons I want to see. Because she woke a stubborn, hard-hearted, stiff-necked man out of death. That was the first jolt of like, oh no, I'm going to get saved. And then another little boy gave his whole life where I can go to heaven. See, on 4th of July, a 9-year-old girl testified and put a seed in my heart where many other seeds had landed. On August 28 of 04, the little boy got ran over by his grandmother. And because he died, I live. I went to save his life, but I couldn't. I did CPR on him. I breathed my life into him. And I got his blood all over me. Walked to my house a quarter mile away. Fell on my face before God. And surrendered everything I got to Jesus. My life has never been the same. Stiff-necked, hard-hearted, living life my way. But what if I'd have went out into eternity before that? I would have went to hell for eternity. Because of a little boy dying, finally putting me in a place of humbleness, I surrendered all. And when I get to heaven, I want to see Jesus. Because he saved me. I want to see that little boy and tell him, you were only 2 years old, but you played a big role in a lot of people's lives. Because after I got saved, God sent me to a lot of people. And if he hadn't let you, there would have never been a me. And I'm thankful. Some people will ask you sometime, why do you keep doing what you do? There was a lot of people who sacrificed for me to be where I'm at. So I'm going to sacrifice until the end of my life. Amen? I hope you know this morning. I hope you know that Jesus Christ is your shepherd and the Lord of your soul. If he's not, don't wait one second longer. Come to this altar and answer that question. Where will I go if I die today? Let's all stand. As Anthony plays, if God's spoken to your heart this morning, come and seek the Lord Jesus. I know there's a couple of people in here that God's been dealing with you for a long time.